Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is alive and powerful. It is active and effective. Father, your word propels us in this church. It is what we trust and believe in this church. God, your word drives this church. God, the messages that come from this place drive this church. Drive husbands and wives. Increase our faith. Understanding what you say about finances. God, you drive this church in 2013. The messages that are proclaimed from this place, God, let it be only your word. Let it be only you working in a powerful way as our faith multiplies, God. Incredible. Father, I'm asking that every eye in this place would be open to see this morning. Every ear in this place would be ready to hear it. Our understanding would be very clear. God, every heart in this place would be hungry, thirsty, starving, longing, yearning to be fed this morning. Thank you for what is taking place in this building. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these people. Incredible people. We have an incredible church, God. People who love you, people who love one another. Amazing. We thank you for your work in here. To you, get all the credit. To you, be all the glory. It's your work in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. Turn to Ephesians 3, three places this morning. I hope we get there. We didn't get to them all in the last message, but let's get to them today. What do you say? Come on, Ephesians 3, 16. If you can turn there. Flip over to 2 Thessalonians 1, 1 Timothy 6. We'll hit those in just a few, but we're going to start in Ephesians 3. Gang, the title of the first series in 2013 is this. We are going to hit faith in a very, very strong faith multiplication way that we are looking at faith. Number one, faith, God is able. When we recognize how great God is and we understand the power of God and the magnificence of God and all creation, all sovereign, all in control, God, there's nothing that God misses. There's nothing. God doesn't ever blink. He doesn't ever sleep. He never gets tired. He never gets weary. He is God. He has always been. He always will be. And this is when we understand how great and all powerful God is, that He is able. If we would learn when we get into circumstance, when we get into situations, when we're looking at our husbands or wives, we're looking at our families, we're looking at our finances, we're looking at different things that show up in our lives that are uncomfortable or a season in life, and we look and say, God is able. God sees this. I trust Him. I love Him. He has the best for me. I know I live in a fallen world. God, you're in charge. God, you are able. God, nothing is impossible with you. God, you are the great creator. God, you split the sea. God, you created man from dust. And you go on and on through Scripture and you begin to declare the greatness and all powerful miracles that God has done, the miracles of through Jesus Christ, raising the dead, healing the blind, healing the sick, speaking to the weather. I wish He'd speak to that. Speaking to, just let us know on Monday. I mean, what is this business on the week? God, this is your time. And, come on. Anyways, folks, God is able. And we're going to build your faith. When we look at this and say, God is able. One of the greatest tools in the enemy's belt is doubt. And we're going to go through a whole series. We're going to look at individuals in Scripture that doubted God. God gave them a word. They doubted that word and the result of their doubt. And we're going to look at Scripture through Hebrews 11. And we're going to look at the men and women of faith. It was by faith, Noah. It was by faith, Moses. It was by faith, Jacob. It was by faith. And we're going to go on and on and on. Male and female who had great faith that God showed up in a supernatural, amazing, incredible, only God can do way. Why? One reason. Because of their faith. And it's going to be amazing. I have no idea how long this series is going to take. Do you realize the very first thing the enemy did was cast doubt to Adam and Eve? The very first thing. I mean, listen, you've got the Garden of Eden. You've got an absolute perfect condition. You've got a husband and a wife, and they run around naked all day. I mean, that's all they do. I mean, how much more perfect can that get, right? I mean, this is what they do. No one's ringing the doorbell. No one's calling. There's no children. It's just nakedness all the time in perfect land. I mean, that's it. It's like heaven, whatever. But it is true, by the way. But anyways, Ladies, once we get through the marriage series, you'll be saying amen. We're going to talk about that. We'll hit that pretty hard as well. So, that's true. I love this. Anyways, so here you got Eve. God's given one clear instruction. The very first act of the enemy was to come to Eve and say, well, God didn't really mean that. His very first deal, the very first weapon he chose to use was to cast doubt on what God said. And I tell you what, he hasn't changed. One of his greatest weapons is to cast doubt. One of his greatest weapons is for us to see something, let our faith begin to build up. God, I see it in Scripture. God, I see your promises. God, I see what you say. God, I see what you've done. God, I see what you're going to do. God, I trust you. God, I believe this. God, my faith is in this. God, I'm all about this. And then doubt shows up. Still his number one weapon. As he will come in and he will cast doubt. And he will bring you to start to question. Well, was that Old Testament? Or was that New Testament? Is that really for today? And then he will begin to cast doubt when over and over and all through this book, an unchanging, incredible, all-loving, all-caring God said this. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine what we can do in this region if our faith multiplies and lines up with what God wants to do? And the lives of people, how God wants to bring hope to people who are lost and destitute, how God wants to bring marriage, how God wants to bring singles to him, how God wants people to trust him, saying, I got this, would you trust me? I got this, I am able. When our faith lines up with God is able, we will see God show up in powerful ways in our lives, in our kids, in our homes, in our finances, in our families, and in this church, and in this region, and in churches around this church, where God shows up in a powerful way because of the faith of what's taking place in these walls amongst these people. Amazing. Amazing when our faith lines up with what God said, that we actually trust and believe, God, you're able. You got this. And we build our faith so strong that doubt is squashed. That immediately doubt will come, but when it comes, nope, God's able, nope, this is his promise, nope, he will be with me forever, he will never leave me, forsake me, he loves me with love that I just have, I've got to come to this understanding how great his love is, nope, God's got this. And we start walking in faith, not by what we see, but what we believe in what he said. Look at this, Ephesians 3 says this. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives and he builds us and strengthens us and empowers us and gives us spiritual gifts to do God's work, his way, for his will to be done. Man, it's amazing. I praise the Lord for God by his Holy Spirit filling us and walking in us, that we walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that we are the ones that are empowered by God, by his Spirit, to do his work, his way. Incredible. Strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So that Christ may dwell, he may take residence, live in, within our lives through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, that's the width, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Stop. It references the Trinity here. It says the Holy Spirit empowers us. Christ dwells within us. God, that we are to walk in the fullness. That means we are to take on the character of God. We are to see not a self-centered character, but a God character. Ephesians 5:1 says that we are to imitate God. If we are followers of God, followers of Christ, we take on his characteristics and we walk in such a way of being full of his character. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. When people see us, they should see little Christ in his character, in the character of God, in kindness and gentleness and peace. This is what they should see. Spirit of God, Christ, God Almighty and his character. And it says we're to do all this and wrap it up in the knowledge of his love. Then, when we get that, folks, look at verse Verse 20, this is amazing. You want to talk about God is able? You want to talk about knowing and understanding how great and grand and majestic and powerful and all-knowing and all-everything and all-control and the sovereignty of a powerful, all-powerful, one true living God? Now, to Him who is able, to Him who split the sea, to Him who called creation into being, to Him who speaks to the storms, to Him who raises the dead, to Him who raised Christ from the dead, to Him who is able, to Him where there is nothing impossible, to Him where nothing is hard for Him. 6 days He created all. Can anything be hard for God? To Him who is able, look at this, to do far more abundantly beyond. To Him who is able to do far more than you can ask or think. We would get that. I would understand that. Okay, far more than anything I can think or ask, you've got this. But He goes a step further. To Him who is able to do far more abundantly. Okay, wow, that's pretty cool. I get it. Far more abundantly than I can ask or think. Awesome. He is trying to make a serious point here, folks. To Him who is able to go far more abundantly and beyond. I mean, how much more? You could have stopped at far more, I got it. Far more abundantly. That's awesome. Far more abundantly beyond all that you can ask or think. Huge. When you understand God is able, when you understand when you cry out to Him, you have the ear of the Creator of the universe to which nothing is difficult for Him. Nothing is difficult for Him. Philippians 4:6. I want you to see this. Be anxious for nothing. You've got to tie your faith with prayer. When we cry out to God, we have to understand to the whom that we are crying out. We've got to understand that when we cry out to Him, the Bible says that He inclines His ear. He leans in to hear the prayers of His people. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. It is amazing to me that I know and believe that God knows everything in my life from before the foundation of the world until the new heavens and the new earth that would ever, ever take place. A little infant, little dot of a person named Sean Obergefell, and He knew it all. But yet He wants me to make requests, my requests be known to Him like He doesn't already know, but He wants to hear it from me. Who am I that the Creator of the universe wants to hear from me when He already knows everything? He wants to hear from me. Folks, that's called relationship. That's not called religion. That's not tradition. That is relationship. God would want to hear from Sean Orenthal. When He already knows everything about me, He knows my tomorrow, my next year, and He knows the very dot in time that I go to be with Him forever. He knows everything. He knows every burden. He knows every struggle. He knows everything that I'm going to encounter. And yet He still wants to hear from me. Maybe it has to do with something about me learning something about faith in Him and trusting in Him and being anxious for nothing. Wouldn't that be incredible if we got through 2013 and we didn't have concern and we didn't have and this anxious worry that we had such a relationship with Him that we trust Him in everything we do. Everything I think, everything I say, everything I do, I'm Yours and I trust You and I'm not going to worry. That's easier said than done. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, cry out to God. Watch our faith meet our prayers. Just amazing. Come on. 2 Thessalonians, please. 2 Thessalonians 1. This is Paul. Silvanus and Timothy to the church. This is to the believers. Thessalonians, in God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, look at this. We ought to always give thanks to God for you. Had a great opportunity in Pittsburgh. to again brag about what God is doing at Believer's Chapel because of the people of Believer's Chapel. I again begin to get to brag about the team that serves the people of Believer's Chapel. Brendan, Teresa, Seth, I mean, Liz, Mike, Renee, who is just absolutely incredible. The team that volunteers week after week after week, begin to brag to whoever would listen in as I'm studying, speaking to people, talking to people in the coffee shop, just saying, this is what God is doing in Olean, Allegheny. It's incredible. We live in this little tiny place. You're talking to people who live city lives, and we have like trees and fields and cows and plants and you know, it's crazy. And they just don't understand the cows and the sheep and the goats and the, you know, the whatever. But I tell them what God's doing here. I tell them about the people who choose to be here week after week after week, the people who are excited about church, the people who are excited about inviting people, the people who are excited about their families coming, the people who are, and it's easy, folks. It really is. It's easy to brag about you. This is what it says. We have to always give thanks to God for you, as is only fitting. Why? Because your faith is greatly enlarged. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Folks, I want you to know something. When we preach, we trust and have a great expectation that God is going to speak to you. That God is going to speak into your life, and that you will see this not through opinion, but through what God, for the very word of what God said. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that we are seeing our faith enlarged. We are seeing our faith begin to multiply. We are seeing where our prayer life connect with our faith. And there is this thing that does take place before God, saying, God, I don't see it, but you do. God, I've just got to trust you. And our anxious prayers turn to trust-filled prayers to say, God, our faith is enlarging every week after week after week. I want to see you walk out of this place different. Faith built up. Gang, I get the privilege of being able to study this week after week, where my faith continues to grow, continues to increase. And I love that. Love to be able to speak truth. Love to be able to preach to those who hear and listen. It's just amazing what has taken place. But the cry of my heart is that God, their faith would enlarge and it would grow. Now look at this. And the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Could you imagine if we have a church in 2013 where faith is blown up, doubts are decreasing, and the love for one another is through the roof? Could you imagine what's going to take place in this region? Could you imagine what is going to happen here in these walls, where Bible is being preached and lives are being changed and marriages are coming together and people are caring and loving one another? Incredible. You want to talk about something to brag about, of what God is doing. Amazing. Amazing. Love it. Come on, point number two is this. The series that we're going to hit after we really build our faith and kill our doubts. We do about once a year. We talk about marriage. We talk about family. We talk about singles. We talk about the hurt of divorce. We talk about those who have gone through that and how we need to encourage them and build them and strengthen them and do everything we can to bring hope to them. Maybe you lost a loved one and you're single. We're all about you. We're all about husband and wife. And we're going to do a whole series called Together Forever and Loving It. Right? I mean, it's unfortunate. Together Forever? There are those who are together forever and painful. Like, that's not what we want. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for together forever and loving it. That's what we want. I mean, listen, I know, ladies, sometimes you're like, this is painful. This guy, I married this guy, and he's like, you know, X, Y, Z, this is crazy. Or guys, you're saying, you know what, right about now, the whole desert scene, the contentious wife, I could go and have no food and no water and live in the snow. I'd be better off. I mean, that would be better for me. I'm all over that, right? And no, we want together forever and loving it. We want to understand God's program. What God says about marriage, what God says about preparation for the individuals. We have a ton of young adults. We have a ton of singles in this church. Preparation, keeping pure, keeping innocent. What it is to walk into that marriage bed undefiled. What it is to walk into that marriage bed pure and innocent. What it is to wait, and what it is to wait for the one that God has chosen. The one to walk in a way to be that godly husband, to be that godly wife. Being prepared for what's ahead. All about that. We're going to hit it hard in this series. It's going to be huge. It will be life-changing for your home, folks. We will talk about nakedness and bedroom stuff. We will talk about what it is to prepare for that. We'll talk about what it is to be pure and holy. We're going to hit this thing so that when you go into marriage, or you are married, or you are in a marriage that right now is painful, it does not and it will not stay that way. We are going to enact our faith to say this will be different, and we will do this. We want God's result. We want our marriage to be one of a home that is full of gentleness and softness, a home that is full of life and not death, a home that is speaking life, speaking encouragement, a home that is growing in our faith, a home that is trusting in God, a home where the wife can't wait for her husband to get home, the husband can't wait for the wife to get home, the children honor and respect and adore their parents. That's the home that God has created. That's the home that says, God said this is the way it's to be. And when we are going to get back to that place of marriage, in Hebrews 13:4 said marriage is to be held in honor, a place of respect, a place that is priceless, a place that you cannot put a cost on among all. That's what God says about marriage. And I tell you what, when you want God's result in marriage, there's one way, and that's God's way. We say, I want God's result, but I want to do it my way. I want God's result, but everybody at the office says this works. I want God's result, but Hollywood says this works. You want God's result? It's God's way. Mm-hmm. You want to do it your way? Good luck. We choose to do it God's way. We're pretty serious about that. A couple verses for that. We're not going to spend too much time on this. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. When God says together forever, kind of had a good idea there. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife. Husbands, we are going to hit you hard in regard to loving your wife. Gentleness. There is a time to stick out your chest and be egotistical when somebody is attacking your family. You attack back with everything you got. But within that home with your wife, you are gentle and you are nourishing and you are soft and you're loving and you're speaking life and you're encouraging and you're building her and you're being selfless and you're putting her needs first. Just as the Bible says, love her just as Christ loved the church, just as Christ, I'm a part of the church, therefore just as Christ loved me, make yourself a list of how Jesus Christ loved you, sacrificed, gave up everything for you, and then flip that and imitate that and love your wife. We are going to hit this thing hard. And the wife must see to it that she respects. That word respect, it means to stand in awe. That she stands in awe of her husband. God, you gave me this man. God, he has loved me with everything. Help me to stand in awe. Help me to respect him. Help me to honor him. Help me to value him. Could you imagine what that home looks like? Incredible. Imagine the picture you're showing for your kids. Incredible. Amazing. Point number three is this for this year. We're going to be talking about finances. We're going to be talking about blessing and giving. We're going to talk about how God does choose to bless and how God does want to show favor. And also, the secret to our finances, folks. Come on, let's turn, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to close out with this. I am excited for this church's direction in 2013. I am very excited about these three series that kicked this year off. Faith, family, and finances. Chapter 6, verse 6, 1 Timothy says this, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into this world, we cannot take anything out of it. I mean, look at this, this is great. We have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. Job says, naked I came, naked I go. I mean, listen, I got nothing when I came in, and I can't take anything as I go. So there, you came in one direction, you're going out the same direction, everything in between is life. And listen, I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. I mean, You can't take it with you. When he's saying, listen, everything you got, you came in with, you're leaving with the same amount. I mean, come on, that's it. And we look at this and we say, okay, what is the secret to success? The Bible talks about hard work. The Bible talks about being lazy and the sin that is. The Bible talks about caring for the poor, those who cannot care for themselves. We're going to stick with what the Bible says, folks, about the poor and the lazy. Huge Grand Canyon difference. Grand Canyon difference. We're going to talk about those who can't work and how we're supposed to take care of them. We're going to talk about those who are lazy and will never get a penny from this church because you don't work. You can, but you choose not to. God says you shouldn't eat. That's serious stuff. God says you reap what you sow. I believe in working hard and getting paid for it. I believe that we live in an amazing place called the United States of America, where you can work hard and you can make as much money as you want to, and you can work as many hours as you possibly, you can have three jobs, and you can do very well in America and do it. Listen, we're all about a nice home, and we have two nice cars, we work very hard for it, and that's fantastic. You reap what you sow. There's nothing wrong with hard work. There's nothing wrong with you asking, God, I want some blessing. God, we are being faithful in our tithes and offerings. We know that you bless. We know that you will favor us. But this is the deal. Look at this. This is the key right here. I want you to see this in Philippians 4. This is Paul. He speaks this. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned. That means I have gone through it. That means I have experience in this. I have learned to be content. You know what the secret to success is, folks? Is to be satisfied. Amen. You know what the secret to success financially is? To be satisfied. Is to be content. Is to know my needs are met. Look at this. To be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. Again, I have learned. He has been there. He's done that. Paul has seen it all. This is what he says. I've had everything. I've had nothing. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, having abundance, suffering need. I'm satisfied in any circumstance that I am in. I am content. That's what he says. And the kicker, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He brings his faith right in there. He is able. Through Christ, nothing's impossible. I can do all. I can be content with everything. I can be content in nothing. I can be content in every circumstance. Why? Because my focus and my intent is on him, and in him, I can do all things. Not in my circumstance, not in this area, not in that area, not when I have everything. It really stinks when I don't have anything. But in him, I can do all things. That's where my satisfaction comes from, is in him. Back to 1 Timothy. Look at this real quick, and we're closing this baby out. Verse 9, but those who want to get rich fall in temptation and snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The Bible does not say those who are rich fall in temptation. You can go through scripture after scripture, and I can point to you people who have more money than anyone walking this planet today. And they were blessed by God. Incredible. It does not say those who have money are evil. Folks, when we talk about finances, we're going to talk about intent, and we're going to talk about motive. And if our whole lives revolve around making more money, making more money, making more money, and our whole desire in life is to be rich, then this passage applies. And nothing wrong with working hard. Nothing wrong with paying the bills. Nothing wrong with a nice house. Nothing wrong with nice cars. But I have been around the world, as many of you have, and we have seen people that have nothing. And they are so satisfied. And they are so content. Because their lives are in Christ. And they realize, I came with nothing, and I'm leaving with nothing. But everything in between, I am content. Because in him I have everything. So let's really make this thing very clear. Look at this. Brennan, you can come up, man. Look at this. Verse 11. Flee from these things, you man of God. And this is what we're supposed to pursue. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Could you imagine if 2013 marks us as a church, as individual members of one full body? Now people look at Believer's Chapel and they see us not chasing down the almighty dollar. They see us, that word pursue, it means to chase down. Don't chase after money. Could you imagine if this region and the people we support around this world see this church, this body, pursuing righteousness, that which God says is right. Pursuing godliness, to be so intent and motivated to be like God. To be walking the likeness and the fullness of His character. To take on His characteristic. To understand what it is to imitate God as my Father, as one I want to take on your character. I want to understand what it is to be intent and motivated to be like you. Could you imagine if we're a people who pursue and go after great, solid, biblical faith, forsaking all I trust? How I go through something and you go through something, but how are you getting through it on such a solid, there's such a presence about, how do you get through the same thing that I'm going through? I'm a mess, I'm crying. Because it's my faith and I trust God. Could you imagine if we're a church who has a love that is increasing for one another week after week, and a love for people who are without, and a love for people who are hurting, and a love for those who are lost? If we pursued them and we chased them down, we went after them. Could you imagine if we're a church who pursues what it is to be persistent, to be able to stand your ground no matter what, that I am on solid ground, I am on the rock, I am steadfast, I am immovable, doubt can't touch me, I know my faith, I know who I am in God, I know what Christ has done for me, the Spirit of God empowers me and indwells me, and this is my perseverance, and this is who I am. That's what that word means, that you are steadfast, cannot be moved. Could you imagine if people saw that? And that's our pursuit and that's our chase as a church for 2013. And could you imagine if we understand what it is to pursue, to go after, and to chase down what it is to be kind. That word gentleness, it means to be kind. That we have this heart in this church that just wants to bless people and to be kind to people. And to give to people. We wouldn't have enough room in 10 services, folks. And that's our goal. 2013 is going to be an incredible year. We're going to see God do some amazing things. And I just wanted you to be as excited as I am, as your pastor, to know where we're going in the first part of this year. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. I'm so blessed to be, just to see these people come out this morning. God, we've had an amazing weekend. It's been incredible. We thank you for it. We thank you for all the lives who've heard your word this weekend. I pray that by your Spirit you would seal it. And they would just live this thing out, God. Help us to be a church that our faith is multiplying. Our families, God, are walking in a God light to be a light to those who hurt in marriage. As singles would be raised up to live in such a way of innocence, to wait for their wife, to wait for their husband and do it different than the world. That we would be a church who would understand finances. Father, we love you so much. This is your church. These are your people. It's a privilege to pastor your flock. In Jesus' name, amen.